One day, my grandmother was no longer able to walk. That was the day she died. Physically, she continued to live a little longer, but her new knees, which had surgically replaced the old ones, were worn out and no longer able to carry her body. The remaining strength in her muscles wasted away from the days spent lying in bed. Her digestive system began to fail. Her heartbeat slowed down and her pulse became uneven. Her lungs took in less and less oxygen. Towards the end, she was left gasping for air. In those days, I had two daughters at home. The youngest, Solveig, was 13 months old. As her great-grandmother slowly shrank into a fetal position, Solveig felt it was high time she learned how to walk. Arms raised above her head and hands clasped around my fingers, she managed to totter across the living room floor. Each time she let go and attempted a few steps on her own, she would discover the difference between what's up and what's down, what's high and what's low. When she stumbled and smacked her forehead on the edge of the living room table, she learned that some things are hard and others soft. Learning to walk may be the most perilous undertaking of our lives. Arms outstretched to keep her balance, Solveig soon mastered the feat of walking across the living room floor. Spurred on by her fear of falling, she took short, staccato-like steps. Observing her first attempts, I was surprised at the way she spread her toes as though trying to grab onto the floor. A child's foot doesn't know it's a foot yet. It wants to be a butterfly or an apple, writes the Chilean poet Pablo Neruda at the start of his poem, To the Foot from Its Child. All of a sudden, Solveig was moving with more confident steps, through the open terrace door and out into the garden. Her naked feet now came into contact with something more than flooring, the earth's surface, grass, stone, and soon, tarmac. It was as though a small part of her personality, her temperament, curiosity, and will became more apparent when she walked. When I observe a child learning to walk, it feels as if the joy of exploration and mastery is the most powerful thing in the world. Placing one foot in front of the other, investigating and overcoming are intrinsic to our nature. Journeys of discovery are not something you start doing, but something you gradually stop doing. When my grandmother, I called her my Murmur, was born in Lillehammer, 93 years before Solveig, her family still relied on their feet as the primary mode of transport from one location to another. Murmur could take the train if she wanted to travel very long distances, but she didn't have many reasons to leave Lillehammer. Instead, the world came to her. Throughout her youth, she bore witness to the arrival of mass-produced cars, bicycles and airplanes in her region of Uppland. Murmur told me that my great-grandfather asked her to accompany him down to Mjøsa, the biggest lake in Norway, to watch an aeroplane together. She told the story with such rapture that it felt as if it had taken place the day before. The skies were, suddenly, no longer solely the realm of birds and angels. Homo sapiens have always walked. Since the time they first made their way from East Africa over 70,000 years ago, our species' history has been defined by bipedalism. Walking on two legs laid the foundation for everything we have become today. Our kind crossed over Arabia, continued on foot up towards the Himalayas, spread eastward throughout Asia, across the frozen Bering Strait, through the Americas or south towards Australia. Others walked west to Europe and finally all the way up to Norway. These first peoples were able to travel long distances on foot, to hunt in new ways over larger areas, and to gain new experiences and learn from them. Their brains developed more rapidly than those of any other living creatures. First, we learned to walk, then we learned to make fire and to prepare food, and then we developed language. Human languages reflect the idea that life is one single long walk. In Sanskrit, one of the world's oldest languages, originating from India, the past tense is designated as the word gata, that which we have walked, and the future is anagata, that which we have not yet walked. The word gata is related linguistically to the Norwegian word gott, meaning walked. In Sanskrit, the present is indicated by something as natural as that which is directly in front of us. Pratyutpanna.